Welcome to Telling Tales, the place to get your fiction fix. In each episode, we'll have a story for you. Maybe you'll find yourself in a far-flung corner of the world, or deep in the French countryside, or even on the banks of the River Tyne. We'll take you to places where the past and the present merge. Rocks talk, and a curry can kill you. Sometimes funny, sometimes dark, but always entertaining. Welcome to Telling Tales. Khan's Lahori Restaurant. Mustafa Khan's Lahori Restaurant was not the most luxurious of establishments, and made its living from the docks and office workers from the warehouses that lined the Karachi Harbour Road. The walls were decorated with pictures from the chef's home city of Lahore. The large poster of the Bashari Mosque always made him feel homesick. He missed the shops and cafes of Fort Road and lazy Saturday afternoons by the banks of the Ravi as it meandered towards the Arabian Sea. But lazy days do not put food in your belly, and Lahore had plenty of empty stomachs and few jobs. He left Lahore with two things: his mother's recipe for Lahori chicken and his friend Bilal, who had many talents, but the greatest of them was his ability to make the best roti bread Mustafa had ever tasted. Mustafa's restaurant quickly gained a reputation for his mother's Lahori chicken curry. It was now famous throughout Karachi and much loved by its customers. It had a thick sauce made from chana dal, deep yellow, almost orange in colour from turmeric, and hot and spicy from the garlic and cayenne pepper. It was after midnight when the door burst open and two burly men strode into the restaurant. One of the men went over to the only diner and grabbed him by the collar and pulled him from his seat. "Get out!" he barked. The man quickly decided that as he hadn't paid for his chicken curry, and as he had nearly finished, a strategic retreat was the order of the day. Mustafa Khan was cleaning down the kitchen when he heard the noise out front. He came out from the back and saw the two men by the door. One was taller than the other. His nose was flattened against his face, and the other had a scar down his cheek. Both looked as though they'd done 10 rounds with a Bengal tiger, and that the tiger had won. Mustafa said, "We are closed for tonight, gentlemen, but come back tomorrow for the best chicken Lahori you've ever tasted. Thank you, and good night." They said nothing, but kept looking around the restaurant. And once they were satisfied no one else was around, the taller of the two men opened the door. "Okay, boss. No one but the little fat one in here now." A thin man in a shiny suit and a fedora hat came through the door.
"Mr. Khan, good evening," he said in an obsequious voice. "I am here tonight to help your business. I represent the trades insurance company, and we're worried that you don't have enough insurance cover to take care of all the threats to your business."
"I have insurance," Mustafa said, "and can you please leave my restaurant now?"
"That is not very polite, Mr. Khan," the thin man said. "My name is Mr. Gurnami, and for the small sum of 20,000 rupees a week, we can 100% guarantee you will have no trouble from thugs and criminals in your lovely restaurant."
Mr. Gurnami had recently been promoted to the dockside area and would now receive a percentage of all the protection money he collected. He was very keen to expand his empire and impress his bosses. They have given him Hashim and Yusuf as enforcers. But Mr. Gurnami saw them more as the runts of the gangster litter. They were better than some of the young men his bosses employed, who were too ready to pull a knife or a gun. Dead shop and restaurant owners don't pay protection. "I have no trouble in this restaurant," Mustafa continued, "and I can't afford that amount of money, so thank you, and please leave." Mustafa had no doubt that the thugs and criminals he was talking about were him and his associates. He slipped his hand under the bar counter and took out a large wooden club.
"Mr. Khan," Mr. Gunami said, "I see from the weapon you now hold in your hand you are not prepared to behave in a business-like manner, even though I've shown you nothing but respect. I will report your refusal back to my superiors, and I just hope for your sake there are no bad consequences of this. Good evening, Mr. Khan."
With that, the three men left the restaurant. Mustafa quickly locked up, picked up the few remaining plates from the table and took them through to the kitchen. In the harbour area where the restaurant was, there were many criminal gangs keen to take over businesses or get them to pay protection. There would be no point in going to the police as they were usually on the gang's payroll or just too lazy to do anything about it. Mustafa hoped this was just a try-on, but in his heart, he knew they'd be back. But now it was time to go home and get a few hours sleep before Saturday came. Once again, his restaurant would be bursting with customers, and the smells of cinnamon and garlic would fill the air. Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, the restaurant was full. The two waiters scurried about like demented chickens. Bilal, the roti walla, turned out dozens of breads from the tandoor as Mustafa Khan ladled bowl after bowl of his Lahori chicken curry. As fast as he could serve them, the waiters would take them out to eagerly awaiting customers. This was the only curry on the menu on a Saturday night, and served with rice and roti, it was a Karachi favourite. Not just with the exiles from Lahore, but with many locals as well. People would queue outside sometimes for an hour, waiting to be ushered into the hot, sweaty, smoke-filled room. Mr. Khan had a successful philosophy. Keep it simple, keep it cheap, and make it with love. Suddenly a man with a scar down his cheek jumped up from a table and shouted, "Mouse, there's a mouse in my curry!" And he held the mouse up for everyone to see. Then a man with a flat nose shouted, "There's one in mine as well!" All hell seemed to break loose. The two men threw punches at everyone near them, and people were screaming and heading for the door as quickly as they could. The onlookers in the queue outside pushed forward to see what was going on, and before long everyone was tripping over each other and some were falling to the ground. Mustafa stood in the kitchen door and summoned every ounce of his strength and bellowed at the top of his voice, "Stop! Now! What the hell is going on?" And slowly the fighting subsided. Diners scrambled to their feet. The floor was a mess of broken crockery, curry, rice and roti. Mustafa recovered his composure. "Very sorry, everyone. Please come back soon. You'll get a free curry on me. So sorry." He turned and called out, "Table wallahs!" From behind the bar counter, two heads popped up. "Here, boss." "What happened?" "Two men, boss. They found mice in their curry. Then the fighting started." "Which men?" Two waiters looked around the room. "Not here now, boss." "What did they look like?" "Big men, ugly men. One had a flat nose." "Clean this mess up, please," said Mustafa. 2 hours later, the restaurant was clean and tidy again. The broken chairs were stacked in one corner, but everything else looked like to be okay. "Okay, you two, time to go home. I'll get some more bowls and chairs in the morning. We open as usual for lunch." Mustafa locked the door after they left and returned to the kitchen, where Bilal was cleaning down the work surfaces. "I'm going to get the chickens ready for tomorrow, Bilal. You finish up the cleaning and you can go home." From the fridge he took out a large box of chickens, began to butcher them. Suddenly there was a loud crash. Shoving his butcher's blade in his pocket of his apron, he rushed into the restaurant. The door frame was shattered where the lock had been forced off, and in the doorway stood Mr. Gunami and his two goons standing just behind him.
"Good evening, Mr. Khan. I came as soon as I heard the terrible news of the trouble in your restaurant tonight. If there's anything I can do to help, then please let me know.
Well, you can start by fixing the door you just kicked in.
I can assure you this door was like that when we arrived. I have spoken with my superiors about our conversation the other night, and they were very disappointed that you refused their very generous offer. It would seem in the light of recent events that your fine establishment much needs our help.
Mr. Grunami, I know it was your thugs that caused the problems in my restaurant tonight. I work hard to make a living here, and I'm not going to give away my meagre profits to a bunch of gangsters now. Get out! Mr. Grunami turned to the man with the flat nose and said,
Hashim, we need to teach Mr. Khan a lesson in politeness. Can you please oblige?
Hashim stepped out in front, pushing back the corner of the jacket. He took a leather-coated kosh from his inside pocket. It would be a pleasure, boss. Hashim moved towards Mustafa. As he raised his kosh, the kitchen door flew open and Bilal came rushing in with a butcher's cleaver in his hand. Hashim immediately backed off. Mr. Grunami turned to Starface.
Yusuf, get him!
Now Mustafa had taken his butcher's knife from his apron, and the two unlikely warrior chefs stood side by side. Bilal raised his cleaver as the thugs stood rigid in front of them. Come near me, I'll chop you like I chop chicken. Mr. Grunami shouted his men, get them! Yusuf took a knife from the scabbard of his belt and lunged for Mustafa. But Mustafa grabbed one of the chairs that was stacked in the corner and smashed it across Yusuf's head. Yusuf tumbled backwards and crashed into Hashim. And suddenly Hashim screamed in pain, his eyes narrowed as blood poured from his mouth. Mustafa could see Yusuf's knife sticking out of his chest as he slumped backwards. All the men seemed frozen for a moment, and then Yusuf turned and ran towards the door, pushing Mr. Grunami out of the way.
You will pay dearly for this,
said Mr. Grunami, his face red with fury. He turned towards the two chefs as he left and said,
you are dead men, dead men.
The two chefs looked at the now lifeless body of Hashim. Bilal was the first to speak, his voice shaking with fear. He looked at Mustafa and said, dead men? Don't think he was joking, they'll be back, and soon. Wait here, Mustafa ran through the kitchen to the little office at the back. He opened the safe and quickly scraped the contents into a plastic bag. Bilal, we don't have much time. We need to get as far away as we can. Follow me. As the cargo ship Pride of the Tyne, new ship's chef, looked back on the city he had worked in for the last 10 years, he gave one last wave of his hand as it sailed slowly out of the harbour. The best roti walla in Karachi stood beside him and said, where is this ship going, Mustafa? And Mustafa smiled and said, I've absolutely no idea. Thank you for listening. If you want to find out more about Telling Tales, then email me at the address below. Or subscribe on your favourite podcast software. This is Jeff Price, and goodbye from Telling Tales.